How can it be that our American labor force is so powerful? Well, first and foremost, we've been mightily blessed by Almighty God. And today, on this Labor Day celebration, and every day, each of us should be giving God our true thanks for His great love and protection. But there's something else. It's us. We the people. We are producers, great producers of labor. We're not afraid to roll up our sleeves and do an honest day's work. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, "If any man tells you that he loves America yet hates labor, he is a liar." Wow. He said further, "If any man says he trusts America yet fears labor, he is foolish." In other words, if you love America and want our nation to grow and prosper, roll up your sleeves and labor. And just what does hard, diligent labor do? It makes achievements. Abraham Lincoln knew a lot about both. He was born in the backwoods of Kentucky, and believe it or not, he had less than 1 year of formal education. But he overcame his lack of education by becoming a committed leader, a studier, a writer. But he didn't become our U.S. president overnight. Throughout his lifetime, Abraham Lincoln had lots of jobs. He was a rail splitter, a ferry boat captain, a clerk, a postmaster. He was not afraid to do work, any work, as long as it was honest and productive. There is no labor a person does that is undignified if they do the right job. Another wise man put it this way, "He who labors diligently will never despair, for all things are accomplished by diligence and labor." How true! And that is one of the big reasons how we've become to be such a great nation. Let's think about this a moment. As I speak with people about their occupation, their work, I sometimes hear them say, "Oh, I'm just a..." And then they tell me their job, as if to say, "My job is not important." And if you're one of these people who think that your own job is unimportant, think about this. Our America, our nation, is a body of people. And just like the human body, it takes all the parts to make it up. Oh yeah, there are some parts of our body that appear to be more important to its successful function, like the eyes, the mouth, the brain. But the truth is this, all parts of our body are crucial to its success. And if you doubt me, consider one seemingly insignificant part of your body, your little toe. It's so tiny, so far from your vision, and most always out of your sight. So cut it off, right? Who needs it? Wrong. It's a scientific fact that without your little toe to help keep you balanced, what happens? You fall over. So, lest you think your part in our American labor force is of no value, remember your little toe. It is each of us, each we of we the people, who help make America great and successful. And today, we are gratefully celebrating this amazing truth. Now, you may not have heard it this way, but I believe there is a special word we must all strive to be as a member of our nation, as a person, or we will fail. The word is American. Now, it's a word we already know, but it's different when we speak it that way. You say, "How so?" Well, take the word American as normally spelled, but you may change the last three letters in the word to make it seem spoken in a different way. And the word American becomes American. And this different pronunciation changes the meaning of the word. With this change, there is a special additional word, meaning, yes, you are an American, an American citizen living in America, but when you add the final can with all capitals, the word is now saying that you're not just an American, you are an American. You are a person who can, and you prove it by being a non-quitter, a can-do. Ever heard of Glenn Cunningham? If you haven't heard the story of this man, Glenn Cunningham, listen to one of the truly most amazing stories of grit and courage I may have ever read. Glenn Cunningham was born in 1909 in Elshert, Kansas. When he was 8 years old, he and his brother had the job of arriving early at the schoolhouse to start up the old pot-bellied stove. But one day, the stove caught the schoolhouse on fire. And before the boys could escape, they had been caught up in the fire, and Glenn's brother died there. And Glenn's body was so badly burned, he was expected to die. He had lost all of the flesh on his knees and shins and all of the toes on his left foot. The doctor said there was no hope. But Glenn's godly mother refused to give up. She prayed that her little boy would have the strength to fight for his life. And he did. Miraculously, he did not die. But his legs were destroyed. All of the muscles and tendons had been burned away. He was doomed to live his life as a cripple. But inside the little boy, Glenn Cunningham, was such a determination that he refused to die. He was determined that with God's help, not only would he live, but he would also walk. Wow. Now, every day his mother would massage his little legs, but there was no feeling in his legs, no control, nothing. His thin legs just dangled. But Glenn would not give up. Finally, one day he threw himself out of his wheelchair and began to pull himself across the grass, his legs dragging behind him. He pulled himself up on his picket fence, stake by stake, dragged himself along the fence, resolved in his heart and mind with God's help to walk, until one day, miraculously, he did stand and walk. Well, from that moment on, he became so steeled, so persistent, so determined that not only did he stand and walk, he began to run, and he never stopped running. He went on to run on the track team, made the college track team as a long-distance runner, and believe it or not, in 1934, during one race, he broke the world one-mile record. What an unbelievable story. He was quite an American. But what was Glenn Cunningham's secret to his recovery? Sheer determination. A refuse to quit, positive attitude, and God. His favorite Bible verse was Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not grow faint. It's great Americans like Glenn Cunningham that make me believe in America. In 1917, William Tyler Page wrote what he called the American Creed. And it says this, I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the people. It's a democracy, a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established on the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots have sacrificed their lives and their fortunes all in our great history. I therefore believe it is my duty to our country to love it, to support its Constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. I'm taking a break now, but don't go away. After the break, I will tell you one great American story. Also, too, let me mention one other thing. Some of you may not know this, but I have been doing these special holiday programs all the way since 1999. I started out with just one station, and then as the word passed around throughout our country, and that's what I've been doing. And I want to thank you so very much for being my supporters. Once again, thank you, and don't go away, because we're coming back with an amazing story. I'm Jerry Stewart. We'll be back in a moment.
Hello, this is Kelly Stewart. Jerry and I want to thank you for listening today. This may be your first time to hear Jerry tell these stories, or maybe you were one of his first listeners over 20 years ago. Either way, it is important to find stories about America and share these stories with others. Why? To encourage us all to do our own part in keeping America a good and great nation.
It is so important that we use these special holidays in our America to remember, to honor, and to keep clear our vision for a better America. That's what this Labor Day program today is all about. Not just to entertain us, but to use stories from the past to lead and direct us as we go forward. And what's our job? To spread these stories that are being told with your families, your schools, and even churches. So today we have something special to offer. Kelly, what do we have for our listeners today?
We invite you to call our office at 817-995-4607. When you call, you can ask about today's program special offer, an offer Jerry and I have put together just for our listeners to help you and your family as we work together and pray for our America. You can also go to our website at www.jerrystewartusa.com. That number again, 817-995-4607, or online at www.jerrystewartusa.com. Let's all do our own part, and let's get back to praying for America. God bless you.
Thanks, Kelly. Let's make today a special start, a day of prayer, a day of continuing to pray for our America. Our America is worth saving. God bless you all.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Impetoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Impetoskey.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, positive thinking, and daily pep talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hello and welcome back to this special Labor Day program. I'm Jerry Stewart. I always find it both interesting and ironic that we call this day Labor Day, while most Americans do not labor today. Kind of strange, but of course, the reason we are not laboring is that, well, it's a holiday, a day set aside to feel good and proud and productive about the fruits of our labor. But while we're taking this Labor Day off, let us never forget that a great many Americans are laboring, doing their all-important job to keep us safe and free. This is our military forces serving all around the world, and our police officers and fire department. I want to take this moment and thank all of them for their great service to keep our nation safe and free. It's hard to believe that the first Gulf War began when Iraq invaded Kuwait on August the 2nd, 1990. That brought about the first Middle East War, which came to be known as Operation Desert Storm. And even though there have been consistent victories by the United States, the battle still rages on against terrorism to this day. Now, some think that this was our first U.S. Middle East war, but not so. Did you know that our recent wars in the Middle East are not our first wars in the Middle East? Yeah, the first war goes back, way back, to a time when our nation, America, was still just a baby nation, and what the American military men did there was said to be the boldest and most daring act of the ages. Listen to this story. The year was 1803. Our America had been a free nation for less than 20 years, and all that we as a nation wanted was peace. But there's always someone wanting to take what isn't theirs. And for years, pirate ships, yeah, pirate ships and crews along the Barbary coast in the Mediterranean had been capturing merchant ships, taking the cargo on board and holding the ship's crew for ransom. Many times they would even sell the crew members in the market as slaves. So what had been the plan of action to stop the piracy? Sadly, as so often happens, rather than fight back, sometimes nations choose an easier route, pay those doing the wrong to stop. Always the wrong answer. They called these large sums of money that they paid to the pirates protection, but it was nothing less than extortion. It had been working for these Middle East pirates for years, and the rulers of these pirate nations were growing very wealthy. Well, in 1801, as Thomas Jefferson prepared to become our next U.S. president, Jefferson and our Congress made a decision. They refused to pay any tribute. So the ruler of Tripoli declared war on the United States, and other Barbary rulers followed. So U.S. naval forces were sent to the Middle East to protect the U.S. commerce ships doing business in the area. Then it happened, In October 1803, one of the U.S. warships, the USS Philadelphia, ran aground while patrolling the Tripoli Harbor. And as the crew of the Philadelphia worked to free the ship from the sandbar, they were attacked by enemy ships, taken hostage, and the USS Philadelphia became part of the enemy's fleet. As the crew of the Philadelphia worked to free the ship from the sandbar, they were attacked by enemy ships, taken hostage, and the USS Philadelphia became part of the enemy's fleet. What would America do now? Pay more money to the pirate nations? Pay a ransom for the hostages? Well, on the night of February 16, 1804, a small group of U.S. troops, the 1st U.S. Marines, they and their officer in charge, Lieutenant Stephen Decatur, they made an unbelievably daring move. They captured a small sailing ship and disguised themselves as Maltese sailors. The plan was to get as close to the USS Philadelphia as they could unnoticed. Now, the Philadelphia had pirates on board, guarding the ship, standing guard, and without any regard for their own safety, not knowing how many of the enemies were on board, Decatur and his fellow Marines boarded the ship, attacked the crew, and took the ship over. Now, because they could not get the Philadelphia out to sea, they set it on fire so it could not be used by the enemy. The bravery of Lieutenant Decatur and his men was never forgotten. They were heroes. One British Admiral, Horatio Nelson, called their move the boldest and most daring act of the age. So what finally happened? How did that first Middle East war ever end? The turning point of the war came at what came to be known as the Battle of Derna. In April 1805, a small group of U.S. Marines and a larger group of Greek and Arab mercenaries, unbelievably, they marched over 500 miles across the Libyan desert, and they attacked the coastal town of Derna. And with the help of three U.S. warships, they captured that city. And on June the 10th, 1805, the Middle East pirate nations asked for a treaty to end the war. They were tired of the U.S. blockades and raids, and they feared that their nation would be overrun and captured. It was the first time that our U.S. flag was raised on foreign soil. Wow. And what resulted from that war? It showed everyone that the United States, even a baby nation, to be a powerful force to deal with. It proved that America could execute a war from home, and it showed that Americans could fight together as a nation, not just as separate states. Most of all, that we would not allow anyone to push us around. Finally, the United States Marines became a permanent part of our American military. And today, proud Americans are still serving as U.S. Marines. And one last thing. One song we've all heard. We've listened to the words. The U.S. Marine Corps hymn. Interestingly enough, the U.S. Marine Corps hymn is the oldest official song in our U.S. military. The lyrics date back to the 19th century, and get this, the author of the lyrics is unknown. How does the song start out? From the hills of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. I never knew what the country of Tripoli had to do with anything until I found this story about the first U.S. war in the Middle East. And I thank God for our U.S. Marines, don't you? And not just the Marines, but all of our troops, past and present,